Good morning. For our scripture reading, we turn to the book of Hosea. We're going to be reading chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And then chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. So, Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." Now chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord said to me, "Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes and raisins." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a latek of barley. And I said to her, "You must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So I will also be to you." Now chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth."
At this time, we welcome our brother Andre to bring God's word.
Good morning. It's great to be back after 7 weeks. As Pastor has mentioned, I got some blisters, and if you need any work around the house, please call me. I will do it. At this moment, I want to thank all of you who have contributed with tools and some advice and some other things. You know, coming 2 days after she got a key, you know, bare walls, house built in the 60s, you know, a lot of work. But the Lord has helped us, and we are almost done. So thank the Lord for the time and even this morning to be here. This morning, the Lord has laid on my heart this special text, which thank you, Brian, for reading it, because it's something which pertains to our people over in Serbia. So let me start with two kind of illustrations. When we witness in Serbia to people, they totally misunderstand us. They think that we are talking about identity, national identity. We tell them about Christ, the gospel, you know, how to get saved. They think we are trying to change their nationality, their identity. And you just don't touch that. That has brought wars in 1990s. So they don't understand relationship, close, intimate relationship that born-again people can have with God, that is you and me. Second illustration comes a little bit closer to home, and is there was a grandpa and grandson. So grandson asked his grandpa, "Grandpa, why do you call grandma dear? All the time you never mention her name." And he says, "You know, but don't tell her. It's about 20 years I forgot her name. So I'm calling her just dear." Of course, there is something wrong in that relationship too, isn't it? But you see, Prophet Hosea was told by God to tell people of Israel that they have left that relationship. God has chosen his people, as you know. And of course, He wants to return them, to return the love which He actually showered upon them. So if we don't have that relationship, if our people in Serbia don't know Christ personally, only lifeless identity, there is something wrong. And of course, just like that grandpa, there is no excuse. If we as a Christians, if we don't understand our salvation, our being children of God as a relationship, the closest intimate relationship with God, well, there is always hope. Because God is a merciful God. He is a God of grace. And of course, in His Son, He shows us that grace. As we read prophet Hosea, I'm not going to tell you a lot of background, but of course it was 8th century BC. Jonah, Amos, Isaiah, Micah were his, you know, at the same day. He served in the northern kingdom, which was very prosperous. Materially, they were really high. But spiritually, it was decadency. It was going down the hill. Their relationship with God was severe. They did not know God as we read. They did not strive to acknowledge Him, to love Him and to know Him every day. Like Paul said, you know, he strives to know Him better and better. That's the goal. So what did God do? God used prophet Hosea, his life. We call it object lesson. You see, people did not listen anymore to his words. Hosea was talking to people God's word, thus says the Lord, but they didn't listen. So Lord said, you're going to play in front of their eyes. You're going to play drama of your life on a stage of your life. Something which we will see is unthinkable. What God is asking Hosea to do. And it's all because He wanted His people to come back, to love Him, to bring that relationship again to the fullest as it's supposed to be. So God has used Hosea's life in this direction. Actually, through the marriage. Something which is closest to us, isn't that? Something which is most dear and valuable, most intimate. And God is going to use that marriage tragedy all to stop, all to teach His people to bring them back. That's our God, brothers and sisters. He is a full of mercy. So everything in the book of Hosea is permeating with God's grace. We should read it in the light of that. And even today, God is the same God. He pursues us. He wants us to come back. He wants us to know Him better and better. We had a conference and that was a theme. That's why I chosen that 6th chapter, verse 3. Get to know Him better. Get to know Him intimately. So let us look at these living scenes from the life of Hosea. And let me tell you, warn you, they are not easy lessons. They were not easy parts to play because in the first place we read from the Word of God, God is asking Hosea to marry a whore, harlot, prostitute, I don't know which word is better in English, I mean, or worse. Something unthinkable, brothers and sisters. Marriage relationship. And this is what God is asking to do. And you know why is God using that marriage? Because from God's standpoint, our life is a relationship. Just like the most intimate relationship we have in our marriage, so we should have with God. And people of Israel have abandoned that. Of course, the whole book is in the light of that marriage relationship between God and Israel. So he's telling Hosea to do something impossible. Just imagine if you were told, go and take yourself an adulterous wife. or as the translation, the whore. That is not easy. Why is God saying that? Because, you see, Old Testament is telling us that God has chosen His people and He's their husband. He is, of course, the closest. And of course, He provided for them. The biggest picture is when He led them out of Egypt. He supplied, you know, the water, food, manna, meat, everything they needed, protection. Just like we men provide for our wives and protect them and provide for them. And of course, you know what happened. They came to the promised land. They cohabited with the foreign nations. They married those wives. And of course, they start worshipping their gods. God with a small g. Foreign. False god. You can feel in that. So that was really something which was so painful for the Lord. And this is really something which God wants to correct. And this was repeated. Whole history of Old Testament and even today. Well, New Testament is telling us also about that relationship. Paul has spent chapter 5 of Ephesians, and when I marry people, that's where I go. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, you know, where Christ is the husband. You know, love your wives like Christ has loved the church. And of course, the consummation in the Revelation. That's a wonderful picture we see in the Old Testament. In the New Testament. And it's consummated in eternity. So what does it mean today, that relationship? Of course, people in Serbia don't understand that concept. They simply don't understand. When we talk about Christ, they feel threatened. They feel, as I said, that we are trying to change their nationality, their identity. And you don't touch them even with a 10-foot pole. It's so dangerous. And then, when some of them, and praise the Lord, many of them came to know the Lord, are coming to know the Lord, they are considered to be traitors, outcasts. Because they betrayed the whole family, whole history of ancestry and everything. It's a very serious. You know, it's a culture of shame and honor. So you do something like that, it's a no-no. You just don't do that. To come to believe, to have a relationship with God. But that's really what this is all about. That's what we teach our students in the seminary. It's hard to plant the church. I see the real church planter there. It takes 10 years to have maybe 10 people in a church. So you can measure that by the standards here. And it's all because of that. You have to win their trust first. That you are not trying to cheat them, that you are not trying to really change their identity. But you want to change, I mean, to bring that relationship. It just blows their mind when they see in our church, which is Baptist church, they see a Serb, Croat, Slovak, Romanian, all sitting in one pew, embracing each other in Christ. It just blows their mind. They don't understand that. Where is identity? You are destroying our national identity. But as you know, to be child of God is a relationship. It's to know God. It's to know Christ personally. So, question is, are we faithful in that relationship? Do we think of our being a children of God as a wife to the groom, the husband, Jesus Christ? That's a very important question for each one of us to ponder and to answer. Well, my second point here is their children. Of course, the result of that relationship with adulterous wife is children, three children, and they are not Hosea's. That's a difficult, again, concept to swallow. And the names, you know, the first son is Jezreel. It's really reminding of the massacre of the house of Jehu. You remember Old Testament there? You know, it would be like if you named your children Srebrenica, which was a big massacre in Bosnia in the 90s, or Uvalde School in Texas. Would you name your children like that? I don't think so. Second child was, of course, Ruhama. That's a daughter. In our translation, Slovakian Serbian says, not pitied, not shown compassion. In other words, God is saying, I will no longer show love to the house of Israel. So these names, as it is in Old Testament, they're speaking by themselves the message. And this message was very, very grim. Not good. And then comes again the son, Lo Ami, not my people. You are not anymore my people because of that unfaithfulness. I'm not anymore your God. Wow. What a message. And people are observing this. Remember, this is on a stage of Hosea's life. Object lesson. These were the terrible results of that unfaithfulness. And of course, a tragic as far as the children of God goes. When people sever their relationship with God, their children are the result of that unfaithfulness. Just like the proverb says, if you sow into the wind, you reap the whirlwind. What does this mean to us? Of course, it's so wonderful to read even this chapter, if you read chapter 2. When they return, God reversed everything. You know, Peter says, very, very graphically, vividly, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, people belonging to God. This is God of grace. You see, our people in Serbia consider themselves to be holy nation. Oh, they brag with that all the time. But they don't know Christ. They don't know God intimately. Again, it's just identity, nothing else. But Peter is saying that in Christ we are chosen people. So God has reversed. When they return, He has reversed everything. You know, He blessed them. Jezreel means to plant. He blessed them materially. And then, of course, Ruhama, He showed them compassion and love. And Loami, they are my people now. This is what happened with our God. When we return, when our people in Serbia return to God, Apostle James is using very, very graphic words. And he's saying in chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? This is what the Bible says about our relationship. Do we love more the things of the world, the system of the world, or our God, our Lord Jesus Christ? This was not true in Israel at that time. What is the source of our sufficiency? I remember in Pinebrook we had a speaker way back, sufficiency in God. What a theme. What a truth to ponder on a daily basis. Because if our sufficiency, brothers and sisters, is not in God, what is it then? It's idolatry. It's adultery, just like, you know, in time of Hosea. So let's be faithful. Let's be close to our God. Let's find sources in Him, sources of our sufficiency. Well, the third truth which comes from these words which we have read is even better. Not only they have been invited to come back into this very relationship through the Hosea's message, not only they have been given children of this adultery. In other words, God wants to return, reverse that. But in spite of faithfulness, the third, Hosea nevertheless did not stop his wife Gomer. Can you imagine? He is supplying her with her needs. If you read chapter 2, by the way, verse from verse 5. You know, he gives her food, he gives her wool, he gives her silver and gold, and you know, he loves her. He keeps supplying her needs. But the saddest thing is that she ignores it. She did not acknowledge. I imagine she did not even notice that. Can you imagine that kind of hurt? You're giving somebody you love, and they ignore it. They think it's their lover. Her lovers have gone that, given her that. It was so sad. And then chapter 2, verse 8, you see, is ending, which they use for Baal. All what Hosea gave her, they use for the Baal, worship Baal. Now, Baal was the god of fertility. They trusted him instead of God. Of course, God is showing through Hosea and marriage to Gomer how he is supplying, how he loves, how far he goes. And this is something what our people in Serbia do. You know, we have done all these things. It's all our strength. We were taught this morning by Brother Lincoln in the Sunday school there, you know, Marxism, it's all material. Let's get rich. My whole generation, which came out of communism, after Second World War, was based just get things. Nothing else. Who is the richest is the most famous. I guess sometimes it's true here. We were told in a class, which I agree, that even today we live in Marxist philosophy. You know, it's not over. Satan is using that. Of course, it's much more there. So I'm not gonna, you know, make digression. Join the class there, and you will see that. But of course, this is what God was doing to Israel. He is supplying them all. He has given them, as they came out of Egypt, you know, all the food and water and everything, defense. Our people in Serbia, you know, common grace, as we are taught in systematic theology. God showers the rain and blessings on all people. But with the goal to get to know Him, of course they need to hear the gospel as well. But our God is a great God. And in spite of our faithfulness, He supplies our need. Remember when Moses went to the Mount of Sinai? God is giving the law to him, the tablets of the law, and what are people doing down? They built a golden calf. And what did they say? These are the gods who led us out of Egypt. A tragedy. Tragic. It was the almighty, powerful God who did it for them. And they did not acknowledge it. So Hosea is trying to tell them, don't ignore, but notice, acknowledge, receive it, reckon with this. Don't go to these false gods, but accept His grace. People in Serbia complain. If this God, you know, they say, oh, yeah, God is blessing, but if something goes wrong, where is God? Where is God? But they don't understand the relationship again. They don't understand what it means to be supplied in spite of us, in spite of our sins, all to bring us back to Him. God is wonderful God. As I read this, one commentator said, verse 14, chapter 2, therefore I'm going to allure her, lead her into the desert, you know, where everything is dead, there is no sufficiency in desert. But he's alluring her. He's actually courting Israel. I remember when I was courting my wife, you know, I did everything to win her heart before I asked her to marry me, and she did say yes. So it worked. But this is how God is doing, brothers and sisters. He is courting us. He's giving us all the best. Because He wants to be our God. He wants to be close to you and me. And He wants us to be close to Him, of course. And then comes the fourth principle, which is the most illogical. It is impossible, let me tell you. If it was me, you know, I would say, I had enough of Gomer. I had enough of my wife. She has done so much harm, so much shame, so much hurt. And now God is, what is He saying in chapter 3? Go show your love again to your wife. She's still in adultery. And God is telling him in this object lesson, go and buy her back. Bring her back to be your wife. Pay the full price. It must have been hard, brothers and sisters. And this is the end of that living drama in Hosea's life. And it ends very unexpectedly. You know, we would think, again, enough is enough. Let's forget it. As I say, that's me. But God is writing, He's telling actually to Hosea. He spoke again and says, go and show love once more. Maybe Hosea said, Lord, wasn't it enough once? Should I do it again? Just try to put yourself in his shoes. And of course, the man of God, Hosea, obeyed. He obeyed his Lord. He knew that the Lord is teaching him and teaching the people and all of us this morning. So in spite of all unfaithfulness, hurt, shame, he buys back his wife, unfaithful wife Gomer. He should have forgotten her again and let her go, but no. And let me tell you, he doesn't threaten, he doesn't scold her. He doesn't, as we say in our language, he doesn't throw it in front of her eyes to make her shameful. But he pays the full price. He restores her. He loves her. And he wants to continue to love her. We cannot help but see here the picture of a slave market. Now, I can imagine a little bit here with you. But I think this is what happened. You know, a few years ago, Charles Lavigne took me to a Green Dragon. Anybody was there? Green Dragon. And I'm just amazed, those, you know, auctioneers, how they talk, blah, 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 blah. You don't even understand that, you know, he points to people. You probably were in some such of those auctions. So here, Gomer is standing, I imagine, on platform. She's naked, by the way. Men are there, and they're bidding. They're bidding their price. And of course, the auctioneer is shouting, you know, they're bidding. And, you know, they're looking at her and appraising her and how much she's worth and all of that. Suddenly, the auctioneer says, sold! She's led down the platform to a man who bought her. She comes, I imagine, with her head bowed. You know, it's not easy to be sold. She looks up, and who did she see? She saw Hosea, her faithful husband. Husband who loved her. Who paid the highest price, brothers and sisters. Cost him dearly. But he buys her back. And he doesn't scold her. He embraces her. He loves her. He takes her under his wing. Even though she did all that. Even though she betrayed him. Well, this communicates to us a lot, brothers and sisters. We were bought, as Apostle Peter says, not with the silver. Father God has given the highest bid, let me tell you. He paid the highest price in His Son Jesus Christ. He paid by His blood. That costs a lot for all of us. Just to establish that most intimate relationship with Him. This is our message in Serbia. People think of identity, we talk about relationship. Christ buying you back from the slave market, paying the highest price in Christ Jesus. And they respond. Thank the Lord. I'm sure you responded too when you heard the gospel. If you don't know Christ as a Savior, my friend, He paid it for you. But you see, the world around us is bidding the prices just to take our attention away from Christ, from God. But He has given the highest bid. Christ has paid. So let's not be fooled. If you are Christians, maybe we are looking, you know, at these bids. If you are not, you think, well, you know, that's a lot which I'm being offered by this world. So the system of this world is competing, offering us, bidding us pleasure, success, prosperity. Even now, maybe, to some of us. But Christ paid it all. Heavenly Father put the highest bid through the precious blood of our Jesus Christ. When Christ hung on that cross, He said those words, "It is finished." It is paid fully, brothers and sisters. Amen? He paid for every of our sin by His spilled blood. And that message, that price is so high that it can save people even in Serbia or any part of the world, Romania or anywhere else, even here in America. And that's the exciting message we are to preach. Yes, people have lost that relationship with God. There are terrible results in our culture. And it's coming, let me tell you, even to Serbia. It used to be, you know, 20 years until something came over there. Now with the internet, it comes in 20 days and even 20 seconds maybe. But of course, that relationship is so important. And God keeps loving us. He keeps alluring us. He keeps courting us. He supplies our needs. And He bought us. He wants to buy you back if you did not experience that. You know, that reminds me of a psalm. Psalm 103, and then I will finish, says, verse 11, "As far as high as heaven are above the earth, so the great is His love." Now, I'm not calculate, but you know how many millions of light years is sky high. I mean, it's unfathomable distance. That's what God is doing. And then, "I will remove their sin as east from the west." You know, we are traveling east, Lord willing, on October 5th. But we will never arrive east. If you go all around the globe, you always go east or other way, west. Why did God use that kind of concept? The heavens without any limits, and of course, east and west. If it was north and south, you know, there is a point there you can reach. But east and west, you can't. Well, that's God of our grace. Let me tell you, those unthinkable distances, you know, where they are crossing each other, the horizontal and vertical, on a cross. On a cross of Christ, they meet together. That's God's grace. That's the salvation. That's the most wonderful relationship we can have ever in this life and all eternity. That's why God is using, through inspired word, that concept of marriage, which even sadly is being endangered now. So let's understand that. And at the end, and let me close with this, results of this new relationship are so wonderful. Everything has been reversed. My tongue doesn't go the way where I want to go. God has put everything right. When He takes hold of your life, when you receive Him as a Savior, everything goes right because you are close to Him. You are His child. God will shower His mercy. You know, they're covenant people. In His covenant, He's faithful, His love. And we will be called His people. And that's our wonderful God. So let me ask you, brothers and sisters, is this maybe the true drama of your life? What Hosea went through? If it is, do something about it. Don't let it continue. Do something about it. Come back to the Lord. As Brother Brian read, come and know Him personally. Daily. Read His Word. We're teaching in seminary. We're reading in homes, preaching the Word. Church planters are doing that. Everything about Christianity, as far as we are concerned, is relationship. The closest intimate relationship we can have today. Because He's faithful God. So, at the end, let me just read again, 6:3. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. That's NIV version. Our translation goes, let us continue to know Him better, more and more and more. And this is my prayer, as for me, also for all of us, that we might be knowing Him daily better, and even people in Serbia. May God bless you. Thank you again for your involvement, so vital involvement in the seminary work, in church planting. We look forward next year. Brother Randy will come and teach, and we're going to have by the end of the month a module again in the graduation, third generation, and all in the goal to get to know Him better, to build that relationship. May God bless you all. We love you. Amen.
When a church in Serbia sends a messenger over here, he always brings a Bible verse with him as a greeting, and we always send a greeting back home. So, based on our text today about knowledge of the Lord, Brother Andre, write down 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now our benediction for this morning, and then we'll be dismissed from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.